Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio from the California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Tuesday. Let's not waste any time. Let's go around the horn to the Sporting Tribune crew, G.A. Wiley, Brandon Deutsch, Grant Mona. We have to start here. Maybe I thought too much of the Hawks after they beat the Clippers, and we'll get into that. But, I mean, you got to give the Lakers a little bit of credit when they beat a team by 31 points, regardless of who it is, 136 to 105. And, by the way, D'Angelo Russell, and I did not think on Monday night I would hear the name Nick Van Exel, but D'Angelo has already tied Nick at Night, Nick the Quick, one of my favorite all-time Lakers point guards, with the most three-pointers in a single season, and he'll obviously break that. But Brandon, let's start with you. A very like herky-jerky season for the Lakers. We'll see where they mend up. But for one night anyway, they looked tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think this was a game I expected them to win. In fact, I expect them to win their next two games as well. They just struggle. Look, the Warriors was a win, right, if Davis plays. Now, I don't want to go into hypotheticals, but, like, I mean, they were looking really good when he was on the court. He came out, and Christian Wood's out for the rest of the, you know, just came out to the remainder of the season looking like with that left knee. He's getting, you know, some treatment on it. They didn't have any depth. They couldn't control the paint. No defenders. They already lack perimeter defense without Vanderbilt and Vincent, right? So they look like deer in headlights on defense out there. And if they're not outscoring the opponent, they're screwed. And, you know, once Klay Thompson or Stephen Curry gets hot, which we started to see, they are susceptible to a lot. Now, I'll say this. I don't get Darvin Ham's implementation of the four-out defense. I've never have, where you're letting these shooters get wide open, you know, kind of locking in on Curry, and then you get Wiggins wide open shots or Kuminga or Klay Thompson, which we saw the other night. It's never worked, and it's starting to show the flaws in Ham's defensive system, because with Vogel, they never, and I know Vanderbilt's out, they never had a defense ranked lower than eighth at any point in the season with Frank Vogel, and they're 27th over their last 20 games. That's a large sample size, Rock. That's concerning. Yeah.
The Knicks, by the way, helped out the Lakers last night. The Lakers now are the 9 seed, one game up from the Warriors. There's a little bit of a gap now between them and the Suns. Again, they are 3 games back, or, you know, you got like a half game here and there. But, you know, listen, as long as the Lakers get that home court, certainly would be helpful. As long as the clock works, we'll... I love Grant was like, your old arena as the Clippers move into their new $2 billion home next season. Grant, we'll get into the Clippers in a bit, but the Lakers last night getting a much needed win on a night when the Warriors lost.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is that they won and the Warriors lost. The Hawks, this is the kind of Hawks team that I thought that the Clippers were going to see, and that the Clippers should have made look like the Lakers did. When you have Anthony Davis back, it just changes everything. I agree with what Brandon said about, you know, if they had Davis, I think I expect the Lakers to win that game against the Warriors. I mean, you can say, oh, well, you know, he's been a non-factor against Sabonis and Jokic, whatever, but his presence alone in the paint, I just knew that the Warriors would take advantage of that. I mean, they were getting, you know, off of pick and rolls, they were getting so many shots in the paint. They were getting alley-oops to Kuminga, alley-oops to Wiggins. I mean, like Brandon said, they left a few players open and, you know, the Warriors made him pay. That's what happened. So for the Lakers to rebound and get a game like this, I mean, they haven't had a game like this in a while, right? Where they just blow somebody out. They get to put their third stringers in with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. LeBron looked spry. He looked young. He looked healthy. And the Hawks just couldn't make any shots. I mean, they were coming off of a back-to-back against the Clippers, but they just did not look like the same team. I got to give a lot of credit to Lakers. They got out in transition. D'Angelo Russell hit his shots. He looked like that D'Angelo Russell guy that we saw in January and February, right? That guy that was just lights out. He can go on a hot streak. And when you have guys clicking like that, look, even Torian Prince had a good offensive game. So when the Lakers get it going, and I've always said this too, I know that it's looking bleak right now and they're the 9-10 seed, but games like this is where I know they're playing the Hawks. I understand that. But when they get going and they get that energy and that effort that we saw last night against the Hawks, like they can beat some of the better teams. And that's just what's so frustrating, guys, is when I watch the Lakers and they just don't put forth the effort, or they don't hit the shots that they should, or the players don't play up to the standards that I expect them to. And, you know, that's why, like, on a game-to-game basis, guys, like, I can't really say, like, oh, I expect them to win this game, or I expect them to win this game, because I just don't know which team I'm getting. I could get this team that won last night, or I could get the team that played against the Warriors and the Kings, where it's a toss up. So great, great win. They needed that. And now they swap places with the Warriors for that 9 spot. And it's really good to have home court advantage. So they'll probably stay in this play-in scenario just because The Mavericks are playing well. The Kings are playing well. But to get home court in that play-in game, I think that's pretty crucial for them.
As Grant touched on, from night to night, I don't know what kind of Lakers team we can get. But at their high watermark, I mean, we've seen these moments from them where D'Angelo has an amazing game and Anthony Davis does what we expect him to do and LeBron does what we expect him to do. And the starters, the familiar faces that led them to the conference finals a year ago, show you signs that they could maybe go on a run like that again. Did last night, and again, I know it's the Hawks, but you know, when you win by 31, it's a pretty cool thing to see. Did last night change your view on the Lakers?
No, it didn't. it didn't, and it hasn't. I think that, just like you said, Arash, you know, when they want to show up, they want to show up, and they'll be there. Your main guys are going to show up, and they're going to do their thing, and they're going to get theirs. They're going to get their buckets. LeBron's going to get his. Going to get his double doubles, his triple doubles, whatever he needs to get, you know, in order to get those records. And that's going to only take you so far, right? I mean, it's going to take you maybe as far as, yay, in the play-in tournament, and then we'll continue from there. But if they do get on a roll, I'm not discounting them. I'm just saying that, like, if they do get on, they would have to get on that roll come playoff time, maybe shovel whatever they have to on the side and just everybody comes together and figures it out then and there. But I mean, they can get on a roll. It's just a matter of, will they get on a roll? Will they get to that point? So I think that's the concern for Laker fans, right? That's the concern of the consistency of, like, hey, we know you guys can do it. Are you going to do it, you know, today, tomorrow, whatever, in the playoffs as well? So I think that would be my main concern if I was a Laker fan.
All right, we're going to switch gears to the most interesting, fascinating, for Grant, disheartening, disgruntling team in the league. It has really continued. They are 8-10 in their last 18 games. Brandon can touch on this in a bit. They are one of the worst defensive teams over that stretch. The size has really come into play, where they are one of the worst rebounding teams in the league as well. But the loss they had on Sunday night against the Hawks was one of those losses where, you know, Hawks without Trae Young had lost 3 games in a row. Again, not expecting them to blow out the Hawks by 30, but like, you're expecting them to hold home court, serve. And listen, like, they're in a situation where they need these wins. And now they're in a very precarious position where, again, like, already they did not love the matchup with the Pelicans in that 4-5 slot. It gets worse if the Pelicans now get home court there. Grant, we've talked about this, but like, what's happening with this team, and can it be reversed in time for the postseason?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I could say a lot of things, but even the team doesn't know. I mean, Paul George said, like, I don't even know what it is. We just don't have an identity right now. So if the players are saying that at this juncture in the season, that's not really a good sign. Now, is there time to get it going? Yes. And their schedule is very favorable. But I also thought that this Hawks game on Sunday was very favorable too. And that was probably the worst loss of the season. Arash, when you say that there are probably four or five worst losses of the season in a span of a month. I'm not just saying over a course of a season. I'm not just saying over the past 3 months. They've had five games now where I can say that it was the worst loss of their season. You can go back to that Laker game where they blew a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. You can go to many games, even against the Timberwolves. They blew a 20-point lead in that one too. This one against the Hawks on Sunday was probably the worst loss of the season, just judging by where they're at in the standings, how they've been playing. And, you know, when they went on that six game losing streak, Arash, back in November, I left a little bit of hope and optimism out. And I know Brandon did too, because it was the first part of the season. You had 70 games left to get it right. Now you have 15 to get it right, and they are looking just as bad as that six-game losing streak. James Harden came back and looked like a shell of himself. He was out for a few games. Paul George has been a little bit better, but still very inconsistent on defense. Ivica Zubac, ever since he came back from that flu, fever, calf, whatever he had going on, it was a lot of things. He has just not been that same dominant guy in the pick and roll with James Harden that we saw in January. The defensive intensity is non-existent. They can't guard anybody that's even 2 years younger than them. The size is a major issue, and it has been a major issue, and the front office did nothing to address it. They are now only one game ahead of the New Orleans Pelicans for that four seed. Yeah. And the Pelicans now own that tiebreaker. So even if they tie the Clippers, they're going to get that four seed. Yeah. That's why all these games against the Wolves and against the Pelicans are so important. And the Clippers have just not taken care of business. And there's a lot of talk saying, oh, well, it's the dog days of the season. And oh, well, this is a team that flips the switch. Teams that play like this towards the end of the season don't win championships. And there's a difference between serious teams and unserious teams. The serious teams are the ones like the Nuggets, where after the All-Star break, they said, hey, we got to get on a run. Let's go play some good basketball. And they have been. The Lakers, I know at times they've shown a little bit shaky, but they're playing serious basketball, very energetic, very poised basketball, even when they lose. The Clippers are doing none of that. They are probably playing bottom five basketball in the Western Conference, and that is a horrible sign for a team that we had so many lofty expectations coming in, and here they are. They could not even have home court in the first round, Arash. That is a major failure, and I don't know who to point the finger to, because it's really not Tyronn Lue's fault. He can do all he can, right? Russ is out, and guys are just not playing with that same energy.
You know, the thing is, real quick, these are not the dog days. This is the stretch run of the season. And this reminds me of covering the Lob City Clippers when Vinny Del Negro was the coach. And they were like, we're the best team in basketball in December. We're like undefeated in December. I'm sure you remember that. And so like, there's these moments during the course of the season where you think that they're going to win it all. But when it really counts, March, stretch run going into the postseason, they just lag, and that defensive intensity, Brandon. I really want you to touch on this, because since I met you, you've said that there's a key component for a championship, or at least a contending team. You have to be a great defensive team, and over the last 20 games, this has been one of the worst defensive teams in the league.
Yeah, I think there's a few things we have to note with this basketball team. The first thing is, it's not even about stats. The team just doesn't have any moxie. They just are lackadaisical on the court. They don't look like they want to play basketball. They don't look like they want to actually change the tide of this franchise, change the course. They're kind of like okay with making their money, and just that's what it appears. Now, I don't know if this is true. Okay, like, I'm going to make my money. I'll work hard. But if we lose, we lose. Whatever. We have zero championships anyways. Like, no, you're trying to establish a name for yourself. Every franchise that has established a name has established an identity. What is their identity? When the Lakers were winning chips with Shaq and Kobe, It was those two and a great defense in the triangle, right? Like now, and when Golden State won all their championships, it was 3-point shooting, Steph Curry getting guys open off ball screens. When Jokic and the Nuggets won their championship last year, it was a similar thing, like a break off of the Warriors, but doing it with the center that can pass. Mm-hmm. Every team that wins a championship has an identity. I don't know what their identity is, Arash, but at the end of the day, that matters. That matters. The Lakers don't have an identity. We know they're not going to win a championship this year, but the Clippers were supposed to be in a better position, and they just simply aren't right now. They're not even like 13th in defensive rating overall. They're 14th. They're not top 10 in anything anymore.
No. You've always been a pessimistic Clippers fan because you've seen this play out year after year, time after time. Although there was a glimmer of hope this season where for one day, for a magical 24-hour period, that they were the one seed in the West. And it was like, wow, like, this could be the year. And me and Grant were talking about that on the air. And I was like, have they in their history, going back to the Buffalo Braves, San Diego Clippers, have they like ever been the one seed? And they have not. Their highest seed was a 2 seed in 2020 during the pandemic in the bubble. They have never, and if in a season like that, if they don't even get home court in the first round, if they're the 5 seed against a team that, man, that Pelicans team, they play the Clippers like they're like the Lakers. Like they really get up for playing the Clippers. And again, I forget sometimes, and again, these guys are Hall of Fame players. I mean, like, I would be hyped if I was a young cat going up against Kawhi and Paul George, James Harden and Russell Westbrook. They go after them. They're not afraid of them. And GA, I'm just a, like, I'm not saying that I'm afraid, but like, I was really hoping this team would go on a run here. Your thoughts on what's happening to your Los Angeles Clippers?
Well, first of all, I want to say that, like, you know, it's the same thing with Kobe playing Jordan. It's the same thing with, you know, I know that's not the best comparison, but, you know, it's the same thing as all these kids wanting to play against LeBron and wanting to beat him. Like, these are guys that they grew up watching. They grew up watching Kawhi. They grew up watching James Harden. They grew up watching, you know, Paul George. Like, they grew up watching all these guys dominate in the NBA or play in the NBA for some of them. And these are, I don't want to say they're heroes anymore, but, you know, you obviously, there's a line out there. You want to be the best. You got to play the best. Like, these guys are the best, right? And you want to play against them.
That's when Zion's going up against Kawhi. I mean, that's the Zion that I think we all thought we were going to see when he came into. Yeah. Like, he gets up for playing Kawhi. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's not fun for Grant and you to watch, but it is fun to see Zion at his best, and he's been a different player this second half of the season, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's finally trying to grow up. I mean, at the end of the day, if we're going to be honest about this. But as far as the Lakers are concerned and what they, you know, or sorry, Lakers, as far as the Clippers are concerned and my constant disappointment, I mean, first I'd like to say that in 2020, look how well it did for us to have a number 2 seed in there. Second of all, I'd like to say that the Clippers, I had high hopes in them when I first saw them play in the preseason. I know that sounds really weird, but in the preseason, I thought it was a different kind of basketball being played that I thought was going to carry on into this season, and it just hasn't. And I get it. They were trying to find their groove on in the beginning of the season. They're, you know, brand new additions with James Harden in there. How's he going to fit, et cetera? But we're past that now, guys. Like, we're past that, and we're not at the point where the Lakers are, where like they've proven to be like, let's get up for this, and we know what to do, and we can move on, and we can, you know, push ourselves to the limit and figure it out this late on. I don't know if they can. It's really disappointing. Yeah. I would say I'm more disappointed as a Clipper fan than I am insanely bummed. You know, I'm just really disappointed. Because I did think that this year was going to be the year, especially when you have a player like Kawhi who is known to rest majority of the season, not resting and playing exceptional ball. Like he played, you know, in San Antonio. So I'm just disappointed. I think that's like the main come off of that.
So. Yeah, Grant, to GA's point, that team was especially close because they did a camp in San Diego or Vegas, yeah. And they really kind of came together, began the season well, and then they make the James Harden trade. And listen, what's done is done. I mean, how different? And again, they look good with Harden. So, like, I don't want to poo-poo that deal and say, yeah, like, it's been a train wreck. But how different would this season been if they had kept that same group they had at the beginning of the year?
I think you needed to make that move. And, I understand there was a lot of pushback by myself too, just because you lose so many core guys. Like, you lost Batum and you lost Covington, both guys that honestly they could use right now. But, I think you needed to make that move to just get into an upper echelon of talent. I think that's why they made that move. Now, if they would have made that move, I probably would have seen them in the 4-6 range anyways, but when they got Harden and they went on that 25-6 run in December and January, that's kind of why you got him, to get up to that level, that status, because he always had the ability to push a team to that level. We just didn't know if we were going to get it. So you needed to make that move. But now, I mean, judging by what Clipper fans are telling me and what I've been talking to them about, they don't really want Harden and Paul George back. And that is just insane. Oh, wow. Because 2 months ago, Arash, we would have said, hey, sign him now. I want a Paul George extension now. I want a Harden extension now. Now the fans are souring off of them a lot because they're seeing how old they look and how much money they're going to warrant. So those are two things that the front office has to seriously look at if this team is to crater and crash like they are right now.
Yeah, it's been we'll see how this all plays out. But most scouts will tell you, like, you're really not going to change your stripes this late in the year. You are who you are. It's just frustrating to see. And I'm sure it's frustrating for you, Grant. We'll talk about that when we come back. And we're also going to get G. Hayes' thoughts as we get into March Madness here. So we'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 from the California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. I know we talked about this yesterday, but again, like, I think the focus of everybody this time of year is on March Madness. It is on the brackets. I think we're all trying to figure out where we're going to watch the games. Again, there's nothing better than waking up that first Wednesday and Thursday. That is my favorite. The first round. No, not. It is the only event, guys, that I think I like the beginning. Like, like, there's no other professional or college sports event where you're like, I love the first round more than the championship. It is such a fun time of the year. Jihei, do you know where you'll be watching the games on Wednesday and Thursday?
Wednesday, I don't know, because I will be driving into Vegas, my secondary home.
There we go.
I was on the fence. I didn't know if I was going to Vegas for the first time in like 12 years. This would have been the first time that I hadn't gone to Vegas for the first two rounds, but I'm going.
Nice.
So I'm leaving early, but I'm still going. So I'll be driving in on Wednesday.
Okay.
So hopefully I'll make it there for the first four in. But I will definitely make it there before the books close. Like, that is a fact. also, I don't know where I will be on Thursday. Arash, I was kind of going to come to you, the mayor, for advice there and see where you wanted to go.
Well, we got to go to the South Point because Steve Karp invited us out there. So, yeah, let's, I mean, listen, it's a little bit further than I, we're normally kind of like in the heart of the Strip. But listen, I mean, you know, we start at the South Point and see where the night takes us. So,
I'm not going to lie to you. I love this. I've been to the South Point. Yeah. I love it. They have a great food court.
Yeah. It's
phenomenal. I also love Durango. Shout out to Durango, man. Yes. They did a great job with Durango with that book and with that bar. It is awesome. I can't wait to go there this summer because of that outdoor patio with all their misters out there. So I'm looking forward to that for sure this summer, going out to Durango. I don't know if I can afford to stay at Durango. You guys are a little bit too posh for me.
By the way, I've noticed that, you know, like Durango, you know, is for locals generally because it's way off the Strip. I mean, same with the Red Rock and Green Valley. But yeah, I mean, those properties are very expensive, you know, like
it's like $400 to $600 for a room.
Like we want to do a staycation and that wasn't happening. And by the way, I misspoke. It's Thursday, Friday, not Wednesday. So yeah, it's the perfect time to drive out here Wednesday because the actual tournament, right, begins Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday. Grant, do you know where you will be watching the games on Thursday and Friday?
I will be watching it probably on my phone. This is around the time where I get out the March Madness app and just go crazy. So whether I'm doing something or not, I'm always going to be on an upset watch on the March Madness app, but that you guys mentioned the Durango. I just remembered, Arash, because you tweeted this out in December. That's the one with the SoFi board.
Yeah,
I still
they have like
my way out there.
Yeah, it's like an oval video board that's like inside and then outside in terms of if you're sitting at the bar, you can kind of watch the inside. So they did a really nice job there. And and as Jihei mentioned, like an inside book and an outside book as well, where again, they really cater to locals and it's not too packed. Although, I mean, it's always seems full. But, what's the one matchup you're looking forward to? Or, like, is again, like the first weekend, like you're kind of hoping for the upsets. And not that I'm not picking Long Beach State, but man, you know, what a fun story that they've had. Jihei, proud alumnus. I don't know. Is there like one like upset pick that you have there?
Do you know what? Yeah, I think I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm looking at the bracket right now. I probably would, just looking at this at the current moment in time, I would probably, I don't know why Michigan State even made the tourney, but
there's a lot of questionable decisions in there. There were.
It's a nightmare.
I want to shout out Jake Dicker's his article in the Sporting Tribune because he just put out a breakdown of March Madness and his picks and a good stuff. So I was just reading it, but I wanted to give Jake a shout out because Jake's a good friend of ours.
Oh yeah!
By the way, man.
Kudos to Jake. I think he forgot how to post, and then I'm like, no, you still got it, Jake. Come on, man. shout out Jake Dicker.
I am on a high horse with NC State. I think that they are very undervalued as an organization. They just won the ACC tournament. I would definitely look at them to beat Texas Tech. I don't know what the line is for that, but I can definitely see them winning for sure. Maybe McNeese against, is it McNeese or McNeese? Against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
McNeese against Gonzaga, because everybody knows my disdain for that team. I just don't think that you know what it is? I don't hate them. I don't hate Gonzaga. I just don't think that they've played anybody of significance until this time of the year comes. Now, there's exceptions to the rule, right? When you had, I think, Rui Hachimura played during the Zion era, right? I think that was like a huge upset in November, but I mean, good for you. You upset us in November. Like you didn't do anything in the postseason. Like I just don't see them winning a title. And they're the 15 versus the 12, which there is still really high odds for them to get upset on that. Maybe even shout out to Oregon, a huge possibility for them to come out on top as well. They played exceptionally well in that Pac-12 tournament, so I can definitely see that happen as well. I'm sorry, Arash, that I cut you off.
No. I was just going to – I think Grant remembers, but Jihei's hot take for the last 20 years or whatever. Like, Gonzaga will not win a national championship in her lifetime.
Wow.
By the way, they've made it to the championship game. I mean,
I know.
They've been one win away, but then at the end of the day, Jihei Wiley's like the 1972 Miami Dolphins, where she's popping the champagne even when they lose in the championship game. So she's been right. They have never won a national championship. They've had an amazing run. That, by the way, when you think back to it, began with Dan Munson at Long Beach State. Again, he was there, got them to the Elite Eight, and then left to Minnesota. And then now he's at Long Beach State, and he's been there forever. And they still don't get firing the coach for the tournament. Like, again, we had a handful of situations this conference tournament week where basically the coach was fired as they're stepping off the court after their last loss of the season, which is like, you could even say, like, that's a little in poor taste. Like, couldn't you wait till like they packed their bags and got back to campus? But to do it before the conference tournament is just weird to me. We'll
see. Can I ask you guys a question? Yeah. Is Gonzaga the 49ers of college basketball? Because I feel like they're always a top seed. Yeah. And I definitely did this because Brandon's not in this segment.
That's right.
But isn't that like a good comparison?
It's a great comparison.
Well, I think it's a good one. Like over the last 25 years, I think it's a good comparison. The problem is like San Francisco has one.
Right.
Yeah. But you're right. Like over the last 25 years where Gonzaga has consistently been on this run of, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, Championship Game. I mean, right. Like knocking at the doorstep. But they've never won the whole thing. And
I think a better comparison would be the Buffalo Bills.
I was just going to say
that. There you go. All right.
I think that's a better comparison. Like, but at least they only got there once versus like Buffalo got there seven times, right? Seven times. Yeah. So, I mean, but it still stems true. Like they haven't won one. So, and they're not going to win one. Like, if you prove me wrong, I'll choke on my words. I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry to everybody that went to Gonzaga that I said that. I know, but I just don't see any mid-major team that doesn't really play anybody of significance. Like at the end of the day, who look at all the, like over the past 20 years, who's won the tournament? You know what I mean?
It's like top conferences.
It's always the top five, right? It's always the power five. So like, you're not getting, these guys from a mid-major winning it. And if they do, oh my gosh.
That's great.
Why March is madness.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. That's why March is amazing.
Yeah, we love upsets.
March is amazing. That's, you want that Cinderella story. You want, UAB to go all the way, or you love it when Virginia loses to, a 16 seed and goes far. Like, it's amazing, but I just don't foresee that happening for Gonzaga. You love it when a 7 seed wins the tourney, by the way, which has only happened to UConn. Like, you love stuff like that, but it, again, major five though, it's part of the Big East conference. Like, Gonzaga is just, you don't play anybody of consequence. And I just, in the regular season, in the postseason, like up until the postseason, you don't play anybody of consequence. So I just don't see them having any major shot of, and they recruit like crazy too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, by the way, like they are obviously at this point past the point of being like a Cinderella team. And they've had this amazing, consistent run. And by the way, like Mark Few was part of that staff back when Dan Munson was, they have kept that same group of coaches together forever. And so, I mean, kudos to them for just having that consistency. You know, like you go to what happened with San Diego State, where they kind of basically the same coaches that coached the Fab Five brought that same system and they've recruited well. And, again, college sports is not what it was now in terms of, players, they have the ability to leave after every season and like they can get paid and all that stuff. And by the way, it's fine. Like, they should get paid. I mean, the NCAA tournament is a $1 billion sports property. They should be a part of that, and they'll all figure that out at some point in time. But Gonzaga, yeah, like, they recruit really amazingly well when you consider that school's in Spokane, Washington. And I don't know if you guys have been to Spokane, Washington. There's nothing else.
I actually played at Gonzaga, and it was, I did like downtown, but outside of that, it was gray. And listen, all credit to the people in Spokane, but I would not visit again. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's not. Speaking of baseball, Grant, I know we had talked about this before when the schedule came out, and now that it's happening, and GA is going to be driving to Vegas, which is a beautiful town because there's no clocks. The Dodgers will begin their season with the Padres. I know that they had a couple of exhibition games against Korea, but their season does begin in Seoul, South Korea, against the Padres. 3 a.m., first pitch. Will you be up, or will you try, or will you kind of maybe, you know, kind of try to watch the end of the game? Grant, how will you consume the Dodgers' first two games of the season?
Rush, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to stay up and watch it, just because it's so weird. But it's such a weird situation. Thank you, by the way. But it's just such a weird situation. Like, this should not happen. And I know that you're catering to the people in South Korea. I get it, and they deserve it. But for these two first games of the season to be at 3 a.m., I guarantee you we're going to see tweets or X's, whatever you want to call it, about the viewership being down, and this is the lowest in opening day history. But, you know, obviously that's out of context. The Dodgers actually look very good. They've looked good in Korea so far. They played a few exhibition games, like you said. Gavin Stone actually won the fifth starting job, the fifth starter job, I should say, as the fifth starting pitcher. He looked really good in his last outing, and all credit to him. He's looked fantastic this spring. I'm just ready to get this thing started, guys. Yeah. I mean, I feel like spring training, the first few weeks, like, oh my God, the feeling's back. And then after like a month, you're like, all right, let's get to opening day, shall we? And it's so weird, guys, because you're going to play those first two games as the Dodgers in Korea, and they count for your season. And then you're going to go back and play the Angels in spring game. Well,
that's
kinda
weird,
like,
right?
Game, right? Yeah. I don't know if that's ever happened. I don't have like stats to back that up, but like, they're going to go back and play games that don't count against that's the weird team across the city. Well, I guess across the city, whatever.
Exactly.
Across the freeway. And it's just so weird of a situation, but I'm excited. I'm ready to get this season underway.
By the way, I mean, there's so many reasons why Hawaii is such a great place to watch sports, but you know, a midnight start time, I could do that. Like, midnight start time, but 3 a.m., that's a little rough. G.A., you're a little bit of an insomniac like myself. Like, I wonder, will you be on that high when you come to Vegas where you're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to be at Circa or I'm going to be at a sports book 3 a.m. watching the Dodgers' first game of the season?
You know what? If I am staying at the Horseshoe, absolutely, because I love that Paris sports book. It's brand new. Yeah. It's only a year old. I'm so for it. And yeah, I won't be able to sleep anyway. It would probably behoove my situation just to go down there and watch that game. I will, however, say this. I don't need to see the first pitch.
No,
I think that I can maybe take a nap and then go afterwards. And obviously, I'm going to bet on the games. So, you know,
If I was in Vegas, I wouldn't even hesitate. I'd say, yeah, I'm staying up for this. Like, if I was staying in Vegas, there would be no question about it. No hesitation at all.
Yeah. Grant, explain what's happening with Shohei in the sense that when they come back, I think Dave Roberts said he's going to begin to throw, maybe play the outfield. I mean, he shot down people who said, you know, could he come back and pitch at some point this season? That's not something that they're even considering. But if he's beginning to throw, what are the like expectations for Shohei this season?
I think, you know, if it really gets down to it, and if we look at the timeline, right, it's about 12 months would be in August or September, somewhere around then.
Yeah.
If the Dodgers are at that point very injury riddled and they're in the postseason and they don't have any arms left, and I highly doubt this is going to happen. But if that is the case, with judging by how Shohei Ohtani is gone about being a Dodger and like, hey, I'll play the outfield if you want me to. I'll do this if you want me to. I'll recruit if you want me to. I wouldn't put it past him that he would ask the team to pitch if they needed him. Yeah. I don't think that the Dodgers will let him. I think they're just solely set on having him pitch in 2025. But in terms of his offensive output, he is already looking electric. I mean, some of these, I know I watched him a lot on the Angels just because he was such a polarizing figure, but to see him in Dodger blue and to see him hitting like this in that white uniform, it's just so surreal. And I've been telling a lot of people this, is that when I see him at Dodger Stadium in that white uniform hitting for the first time, it's just going to be such an out of body experience, because I know we've been talking about Shohei to the Dodgers for a long time, like, oh, they're the favorites and this and that. But when you see it for the first time, much like when I saw Freddie Freeman in a Dodger uniform for the first time at the Ravine, it's just such a different experience, and it takes some time to get used to. I'm just so excited for this team, not just him, but just the pieces they added. They took a serious approach to the offseason, and I'm curious to see how they open the gates, right? How they get out of the gates, because a lot of the time, Arash, over the past couple years, in April and May, they're not really good, and people are like, oh, what's wrong with the Dodgers? And then they turn it on. I think this year they get out to a hot start. I think that this year is an opportunity for them to finally get off to a hot start and be fully healthy and go for it and build a lead in the NL West early. But I'm really excited for the season. I'm really excited to see Shohei. I think that he just brings a different dynamic to this team that they haven't had in years, I think. I'm not going to compare the two, but Yasiel Puig, that type of electric energy, that type of boost up guy that can just bring a lot of electricity to a clubhouse and to the Ravine. So I'm very excited to see him in Dodger blue.
Last thing for you, Blake Snell, and not that I expected him to come to the Dodgers, but I mean, it would have been hilarious if they were like, well, I mean, this guy's still available. Why the heck not? He goes to the San Francisco Giants on a 1+1 deal, which is effectively a 1-year deal. I mean, no reason why he wouldn't opt out. How does that change things? Again, surprised at how this all played out, where like the Padres, I mean, he won the Cy Young last year, and he's just getting signed now.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent move for the Giants. Unfortunately, we're Dodger fans. It just is. I love the 1-1 deal for him. I think that at this point, you just got to take that kind of deal. Like, obviously, you would have loved to get triple figures, $100 million+ deal. But for the Giants, they've quietly recouped some good assets after the Dodgers got Otani from them. They were in the running for Otani.
Yeah.
They now have, I'm completely forgetting his name, but the Korean outfielder that they signed to a huge deal. They also signed Matt Chapman, who is one of the best third basemen on the market. They signed Blake Snell. Like, they're kind of putting together a little bit of a scrappy team here to where they can maybe compete for a wild card spot. I'm not going to say that they're going to win the West, but this is a team that you can't just balk over anymore. You can't just walk over anymore. This is a team that you got to kind of take serious. And look, Blake Snell has been very good against the Dodgers in his career, even with the Padres, even with the Rays. So I love this move. It's a sneaky move. I think he's going to be very good there. If the Giants are not in contention, though, Arash, he may be gone at the trading deadline.
Yeah. But
it was cool. It was cool to see the Dodgers name in there. Hey, why don't you take a
run? I mean, it was getting to a point where I was like, why the heck not? Which is, again, crazy to say about a reigning Cy Young champion. And again, we remember how great Blake Snell has been against the Dodgers. So,
by the way, GK, so excited that you're going to be in Vegas. So we will get game plan that. Grant, very excited to see you stay up for the Dodgers. So we'll catch up on all this. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.